The Maimer we're going to learn today, or I should say the piece of the Maimer we're going to learn today, was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Pashas Dvarim, which that year was Shabbos Chazoin, as it always is. The date that year was the fourth day of Menachem Av, Tovshin Membez, which would be the equivalent of 1982. And the Maimer opens with the words which are found at the end of the Haftorah of this very special Shabbat. And it's a special Shabbat for many reasons, but it's called Shabbat Chazon, and it takes its name, Chazon, from the Haftorah that opens with the words Chazon Yeshayahu, the vision of Isaiah. And Isaiah's vision, which on one hand is filled with catastrophic consequences for our lack of love and loyalty to Hashem, for the fact that we did not live devoted and dedicated lives and did all the wrong things. But nonetheless, it also has a positive undertone to it. As you can see at the conclusion of the Haftarah, tziyin, that Zion, b'mishpati pada, will be redeemed through mishpat. Mishpat literally means judgment or laws. V'shoveha, and redeemed, or the captives, will come home, and we'll see the two different ways of understanding the words v'shoveha, either as a noun or as a verb. B'tzedakah, with acts of righteousness, freely translated in English as charity, although that's an inaccurate translation. And the real translation of tzedakah is righteousness, comes to the word tzedek, which means right. And doing the right thing is to give to others who are more needy than you and to care and share about others. That's just the right thing to do. So our Rabbeim, the leaders of the Chabad movement, in their various Hasidic sermons over the years, starting from the early ruminations that are documented in Lakuta Torah, which is primarily a memorial of the Alter Rebbe, and then later on in Eira Torah for the Tzemach Tzedek. So we say the Pasuk Zeh Nikru Yisrael B'Shem Tzion. In this verse, Zion becomes a name for the people of Israel, for the souls of Israel. And this is not overt necessarily so in this verse. There is one verse where it has to be speaking about the souls of Israel. In this verse, it's not necessarily speaking about the souls of Israel, but our Rabbeim interpreted it as speaking about the people rather than the land. Va'oid shemoynikam bezin yonim. So number one, that's a chiddush. That's a novel approach. That when it says the word Tzion, it doesn't mean Zion, which literally comes from the terminology of marked or distinct, made distinct, marked for distinction. That's what the word Tzion means, like litzayen. Litzayen means to mark something. And the reason that something is called Tzion is because it's marked. Where is the geography of Tzion, if one were to ask? The geography of Tzion is the Temple Mount. And to be exact, the area of the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Tzion. Why? That's the marked spot. It was a spot that was always spoken of. There would be a demarcation. And then after several hundred years, it was identified and it was marked. And it's the meaning of Tzion. So Tzion could mean, roughly speaking, it can mean Yerushalayim, the geography that includes within it the city of David HaMelech and the Beit HaMikdash, the house of Hashem, or it could be referring specifically to the holy mountain of the Beit HaMikdash, which again is still geography, albeit very limited geography. So now we're saying that this idea of Tzion could mean not only a holy land, which it has come to mean especially in modern times, not only does it mean specifically a holy city or the holiest place within that city, but rather there's this concept of Tzion meaning the souls of Israel. And in the Maimonides, not only did the Rabbeim say that here Tzion refers to the souls of Israel rather than the land in which Israel dwells, or the land of Israel, or the place within Israel that is marked for holiness, but not only does it mean the souls of Israel broadly, but in fact this verse specifically and in a detailed way alludes to various, shall we call them, soul rhythms. What are the Bezin Yonim? What are the two ideas here? So number one is Tzion b'mishpati pada. Tzion, Zion, will be redeemed through mishpat, through law or judgment. And Bez, number two, v'shoveha, and her return. So again, it's referring to Tzion, but her return, Tzion's return, will be b'tzedakah. B'tzedakah lahavin. So here, in this particular Maimer, the Rebbe set out to better clarify what is the teichen, what is the content, what is the deeper meaning, the Beis and Yonim Elu, of these two things. V'hineh. Echad ha-biyurim bazehu, one of the explanations, insofar as the notion that Tzion refers to the souls of the Jewish people, and that in that verse referring to the souls of the Jewish people, there are no less than two distinctly different kinds of dimensions that are identified. So one of the interpretations, one of the ways to understand this is that Tzion b'mishpati pada koi al avodas hatzadikim. That the first part of the verse that identifies something which is set aside, distinct, designated, Tzion, that Tzion refers to avodas hatzadikim. It refers to the kind of service that would be exhibited by holy, righteous individuals. Sheheim holchem b'derech hayasher. Tzadikim would be people who walk in a way of tzedek. Tzedek is right or upright. And tzadikim are people who always do the right thing. We wouldn't know from this. We don't always do the right thing. But tzadikim always do the right thing. As it says, v'shamru derech Hashem, they keep the way of God. This is, of course, the pasuk in which Hashem identifies the Jewish people or the nascent nation that will be the Jewish people by focusing on its founder, Avraham Avinu. And he says, because you instruct your children and because they keep the way of Hashem. And what is the way of Hashem? What does it mean, v'shamru derech Hashem? How do you keep the way of Hashem? He says, keeping the way of God is la'aseis tzedakah u'mishpat, to do kindness, to do charity, to do what's right, to do follow the law, so to speak. Which means following the law, being lawful from a Torah perspective, means shakol ma'aseihem, that all of the activities of people like this would be al pi mishpat ha-Torah. Everything they do goes into an x-ray machine. What does the Torah say? What does God want? What are the rules? I have to follow the rules. Play by the rules. The rules of the Torah. If the rules of the Torah say A, then it's going to be A. If the rules of the Torah say B, then it's going to be B. If it's not clear if it's A or B, I'm going to find somebody who's wiser and more intuitive and better educated and find out if it's C or D. They're going to follow the rules of the Torah. And tzaddikim are people who have this incredible dedication and really subservience. They're always doing everything al pi mishpat ha-Torah, always following the mishpat. U'b'lashon ha-yadua, to quote a Hasidic aphorism, shachai ha-tzaddik, that the life of the tzaddik is chayim shel Torah, is a life of Torah. In Yiddish, a Torah life. What should we aspire to? A Torah life. A life that is punctuated entirely by Torah. What does Torah want from us? What does Torah expect of us? What is the Torah way of doing things? So this is essentially quoting from previous sources. The Rebbe now adds a nuance. This is new. Yesh leimar shepirish zeh kosher gam im apirish de mishpat haynu Torah. The Rebbe says this dovetails very neatly into a different interpretation, that we speak here not about people and not about the kind of lives they live, but rather that mishpat refers to Torah. Because this is the idea that this pasuk is telling us, that tzion b'mishpati padeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah, is that the way to effect redemption is by Torah study and by giving tzedakah. So the Rebbe says this idea that tzion b'mishpati padeh refers to the avodah, to the approach, to the dimension of tzaddikim, links itself very naturally to the idea that Torah means mishpat. Kama shatagim unkelus, as unkelus renders the interpretation of the verse. And this is, of course, speaking not about Torah necessarily, but you have to know how to extrapolate. That verse that this is talking about is about the butler and the baker who had bad dreams. And they were disturbed. And they came to the chief jailer. His name was Joseph. And he was himself incarcerated, but everybody trusted him, including the jailer. And he had the keys. And they came and they said, we had a bad dream. Or actually, he saw them in the morning looking very distraught. And he said, why do you look so distraught? And he taught us the first lesson in chaplaincy. What's that? You have to care. You see somebody looking distraught, you have to ask the question. And he cared. And they responded to him. And Yosef interpreted the dreams. And one, he said, will have a head-raising experience, quite literally, that his head would be lifted off his shoulders. And the other would be raised back to his previous position. So the terminology that's used, previous position, is, it says, kemishpat harishon, like the original law or the original designation. And the unculus renders it kehilchasa kidmaisa, like the original rule. So from the fact that we see hilchasa kidmaisa, that mishpat is rendered halacha, this teaches us hainu kehilchasa teira. In other words, when it says here the word mishpat in Isaiah, many, many, many books later, but when it uses the word mishpat, it must necessarily be referring to the part of Torah which is called halacha. In other words then, so if mishpat doesn't just mean Torah, but mishpat means the halachas of Torah, the difference between Torah ideas and Torah law is that Torah ideas can be inspirational, they can be mind-expanding and eye-opening, they can be intuition-inducing, they can be a lot of things. But one is, here's one of the things they don't won't necessarily be. They won't necessarily tell me what to do. And sometimes people who are used to learning the Rebbe's talks, which take every lofty idea and translate it into a practical takeaway, and they learn just like applied Torah, a Torah idea. And they'll say to me like, okay, what's the lesson? Why? Because that's what the Rebbe taught us. Everything has a lesson. But really and truly, it's not so easy to find a lesson in everything. You're learning Torah. You learn a Mishnah. You learn the Mishnah. You learn the Halacha. You learn the Halacha. You're learning Torah. But halachas necessarily tell us what to do. Yes, it is possible that we'll learn halachas about a reality that's not relevant for us because the times have changed, the circumstances have changed. We'll learn about halachas of Beis HaMikdash and it doesn't affect us, unfortunately, because Mashiach didn't come yet. But nonetheless, in the event that such and such would be the case, if these circumstances would unfold, then the halacha would apply. So halacha is always applied. It's the difference between Torah, which is theoretical, or abstract, and Torah which is everyday and real. So halacha means that the halacha that's applied. But remember, what do we say? What's a tzaddik? The tzaddik's a person who lives a Torah life. The tzaddik a person who applies the Torah's lessons to every single thing he or she is doing all the time. That fits with halacha. And here's the interesting thing. Ki a tzaddik oivid b'chol ma'asav b'teira v'mitzvahs al pi ha-halacha sh'b'teira. The righteous Jew is a halachic Jew. The idea that a person could be righteous or spiritually minded or inspired and not follow the laws of Judaism is for us pathetic. Anathema, that's ridiculous. What does it mean? He's very spiritual. He plays the guitar and watches sunsets. He hugs trees and gazes at the stars. That's very nice. What does that do with God? Oh, he's very spiritual. I don't know what that means. For us, spirituality, untethered from Yiddishkeit, from halachas of Torah, is meaningless.
That's what they call a Zionist nowadays.
I don't know what they call it, but it's not right. The tziyim b'mishpati padet, b'mishpat da'avedav tzaddikim, has to be the person, who not a person who has aspirations and visions and ideas and ideals that are lofty and spiritually minded, but rather a person who's kol ma'isav, all his actions. That's a tzaddik, action. It's about action. The Hamaisa Hua Ika, the Gemara tells us, the deed is our creed. To meditate on mystical concepts but not do the mitzvahs is pointless. Meaningless, actually. So that's the tzaddik, that all of his maisim, all of his actions are alpi halachas shebateira. Sheharei gam mitzvahs limedat teira, hi behesim lahalachas lichos talmud teira shebeshulchan aruch. Because what happens is that the learning of teira, that itself is a halacha. There's a whole series of halachas called Hilchos Talmud Torah. You have to learn how to learn Torah, how much Torah, when Torah, how Torah. Ve'ezeis ta'afilu limed zeshe b'teira she'eni mitzad halacha. Even when we're learning a part of Torah which has nothing to do with the halacha, how could I be so sure that a part of Torah has nothing to do with the halacha? Because there's a part of Torah which is called shakla v'tarya. There's a give and take, a discussion. And we may know for a fact that at the end of this page of Talmud, where there's an enormous amount of incisive give and take, the Gemara comes along and says, V'hilchasa, v'halacha, not like this. So all this discussion, by Torah's own definition, it's not applied. It's not, so to speak, tangible. It's not applicable. Yeah, it's shakla v'tarya. But nonetheless, so he nigam limud zeh, tzorech lias al pi klali halacha. Even that learning has to be based on halachic principles. You can't just do whatever you want in Torah. Learn Torah however we please. What's, for example, one of the ways, one of the ideas? One of the notions of what's required for Torah study is b'akdamas habitul, that when a person approaches the study of Torah, he has to come with humility. Actually, self-abnegation. K'mesher kasov, as it says in the Navi, and this is actually the way we begin Hashemar Esrei, v'nafshi ka'ofer lakol tiyah. We say my soul will be like dust. And then, and when my soul is like the dust that everybody trods upon. In other words, when I experience a level of self-abnegation, then my heart can be opened in the Torah. Simply stated, if a person knows it already, has he ever learned Torah? He knows everything. What are you teaching me now? I'll see how it fits into the system of what I already know. You're never learning Torah. You're just trying to augment or perhaps modify what you know already. You're not learning the Torah. In order to learn the Torah, I have to say what I think, what I know is irrelevant. What does the Torah say? What does the Halacha say? Where do we see that this is required? This is in keeping with this teaching of our sages, which is found in the Gemara in Maseches Brachos on page 22 that says, Malahalon be'emo v'yireh, just as there. There refers to Mount Sinai. There refers to when we first got the Torah. That the Torah was received with a sense of awe, with a sense of trepidation. We didn't take it lightly. Afkan, so to now, here we are, 33 centuries later, when we study Torah. How do we study Torah? With a sense of awe and reverence and trepidation, and we take it seriously and don't take it lightly. In other words, mishpat, that started off the first half of this pasuk, tzim b'mishpati padet, but mishpat refers to the halachas of Torah. It refers to learning Torah. It refers to the avodah, to the performance of Torah and mitzvahs, generally speaking. So that's the first thing. The first half of the pasuk speaks about tzim b'mishpati padet, what is asked of us, what is required of us, what is expected of us. We should live avodah tzaddikim, meaning we should live a Torah life. That everything we do should be in accordance with the teachings of the Torah. That everything we do should be right. By virtue of Torah. That's what Hashem expects of us. That's what Hashem asks of us. Now, what is the meaning of the second half of the verse then? V'shaveh b'tzedakah. Says the Rebbe, v'shaveh b'tzedakah. Koi al avedas ba'al etshuva. This refers to the aveda, to the servitude, to the love, loyalty, dedication, and devotion exhibited by ba'al etshuva. A Baal Tshuva is a returning to Judaism. A Baal Tshuva is a person who didn't always do the right thing. But despite the fact that he or she didn't always do the right thing, at a certain point in life, they had a spiritual epiphany, they had an awakening, they were roused to say, you know what, let me be honest enough to re-examine my ways, let me see what can be changed, what should be changed, and the person makes a transformation in life. The Tevez v'shaveh ha-bitzdaka, the word that Isaiah utters, v'shaveha, v'shaveha b'tzedakah, can actually, yes, but a base pirushim. It can have two meanings. Aleph, one meaning is melashain shiva, from the term, return. From the term, come back. So this is one way of understanding the idea of v'shaveha, and it should return, or they will return, which obviously is tshuva. Repentance is not a Jewish word. It's a Christian word. Or maybe whatever. Predates Christianity. It's not a Jewish word. Repent. To repent means to leave behind one lifestyle and choose a new one. Become a new person. And become a new person in the sense that I'm leaving the old me behind, that I'm embracing a new me. But when we talk about a yid learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, we're always talking about a homecoming. I'm not going away from who I was to become a different person. I'm going back to who I was always meant to be. As Eli Wiesel once very wisely observed, he said, when a Jew comes to Jerusalem, it is always a homecoming. Even if you're never in Yerushalayim, even if you're never in Eretz Yisrael. When a Jew comes to Jerusalem, it's a homecoming. So when a Yid comes home, proverbially, to spiritual Jerusalem, it's a homecoming. When he comes to Yiras Shalem, to pure perfect reverence for Hashem, he's coming back. He's returning. And then there's another interpretation of the word v'shaveh, another way of understanding it. And this is, the first way is Rashi's way, based on the Targum Yonasan of Ben Aziel. The second way is the way that Radak explains it. He says v'shaveh comes from the terms of captives. v'shaveha and her captives. Hainu shaveha k'moy v'shaveha, like her captives, meaning the captives of Tzion. Zeu gam k'nina tshuva, says the Rebbe. If you wanna really think about it, that's also tshuva. How is releasing from captivity tshuva? How is it? That's so obvious how it is. Because the whole idea of doing tshuva is lahoitzi es nitzutzei sakedusha, to extract the sparks of holiness, hashavuyim, which were now being held captive, lamata mata begolos. When a yid behaves inappropriately, what he or she essentially does is take holiness that's rightfully given to them, and you take it and squander it. And these sparks are like life. And these sparks are now stuck. And when you do tshuva, you extract the sparks of holiness, or the holy energy invested that's trapped in the negative situation, you extract that and bring it home. V'inyan zeh, and how does this get done? How do we do it more so than anything else? There are, after all, 613 mitzvahs. And the answer is, inyan zeh nasa al yidei maisei hatzedakah. This happens through the act of loving kindness, the acts of caring and sharing, the act of doing what is right and sharing what you have with somebody else. The maisei, the word maaseh, which means action, is also lashon kfiyah ubitul. It also is connected to the terminology, which means to force something. Like a person could say, I was forced to do this. I didn't want to do this. I was forced. I didn't want to. It wasn't fair. So, like it says, mass in al tzedakah. We actually coerce people to give tzedakah. In the times of antiquity, when the shtetl was actually run by Torah Jews, there was legislation. You had to give tzedakah. It was like taxes. The inyan akfiyo ba'avedas ba'al tshuva. Coercion is a ba'al tshuva thing, meaning you coerce yourself. The tzaddik in itzarach l'kfiyah, the tzaddik doesn't have to force himself to do what's right. The tzaddik wants to do what's right. The tzaddik naturally does what's right. The Baal Tshuva has to force himself. The tzaddik sees a cheeseburger, his skin crawls. The Baal Tshuva sees a cheeseburger and he salivates. And therefore, for the tzaddik not to eat the cheeseburger, he requires no coercion. It's natural for him. Baal Tshuva has to work on himself. Because he was chato pogam v'avaras haderech, because he sinned, because he colored outside the lines, and because he left the road of Yiddishkeit, or never was on it to begin with. Because he has been habituated to do things which are not according to the Torah, and now to do the right thing, he has to lashuv l'makayday, to return to his origin and his source. That's a very difficult thing. And another thing is the dafke habalei tshuva tzarich l'inyan tzedakah. The idea of tzedakah is specifically in the domain, in the purview of the balei tshuva. And that's because Chivan Shechata Opagam, because the Baal Tshuva did things wrong. You did things wrong. You need God to be charitable towards you. You need God to build charity towards you. As we say, Lecha Hashem HaTzedakah, we acknowledge Hashem is the one who gives us tzedakah. He is kind. He goes beyond the call of duty. He overlooks our inequities and imperfections. You want Hashem to give tzedakah? Kedei sheyistach lei, that Hashem should forgive him? How do we get something from Hashem? By doing it. You have to elicit a response. You reach out to God. God responds in kind. You give tzedakah. Hashem gives tzedakah. This is the measure of the Holy One, blessed be He, that we say that the Almighty is always mida keneged mida. A measure elicits a like response or similar measure. The mahu rachum, afata rachum. It goes both ways. God is merciful, we should be merciful. And when we are merciful, we bring forth God's mercy. So we understand that Avodas HaTzedakah is showing this mercy, compassion, and kindness here on this earth. So essentially, the Rebbe has shown us how the idea of Tzion b'mishpati pada, the idea of Tzion, which is a geography, meaning the land of Israel broadly, as we say in modern times, meaning the city of Yerushalayim, or exactly speaking, precisely speaking, the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, the Beis HaMikdash, that this also refers to the neshama of a yid. And the neshama of a yid in its spiritual functionality, it could be like a tzaddik, b'mishpati pada, b'hilchazakad ma'isa, following the halach is living a Torah life, or v'shaveha, that you're returning or bringing home the sparks, b'tzedakah. And when a yidn come together, avaydes ha-tzaddikim, and avaydes ha-balei tshuva, and everybody's doing his or her part, and we invest ourselves and energize ourselves to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so then it would be a richtige Shabbos Chazoin. Then in Mirat Hashem, it will be a real Shabbos Chazoin. We won't only have a distant vision of the Beis HaMikdash, but we'll see V'sechazena Ineinu B'shuv Chalatzim with our own eyes in Mirat Hashem. We'll see the restoration of the third Beis HaMikdash. This is not in the Maimer. I'm just finishing off with some nice words. But unfortunately, out of time, you can't finish the Maimer, but at least you got an idea of, you understand how Tziyan can refer not only to holy geography, or a holy land, or a holy place, but also a holy souls, like all the holy souls that are learning Torah with us in various geographies out there. Thank you for joining us. A good Shabbos to everybody. And may we be merit to see this time transformed into the most joyous and most wondrous of days with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen.